Okay, it shows that I am live, and I wanted to come on for just a few minutes and talk about some things that I had written. It's October the 29th, 2024, and I wanted to speak on a little bit of a subject that I think will help us all. We have talked about Genesis, and I have mentioned a few times about how that I think that Genesis is a book that's full of symbols, just like the book of Revelations. And I wanted to take a few of those verses I had written and I had put it out, and many people seemed to enjoy it, but I wanted to kind of put my flavor into it just a little bit. And I am going to title this The Pattern for Creation. It's part one. And that's what Genesis is all about, is the beginning. And there have been so many beginnings that it's insurmountable to even think about. But I wanted to talk on this for a few minutes and show that I'm not trying to talk about Genesis is the only book of creation. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is a pattern that Moses, through the Spirit, broke into. And he found a pattern that brings forth creation. It brings things out of thought and spoken word into actual materializing, becoming physical. So I wanted to talk on that, The Pattern for Creation, Part 1. I am Don Parnell, independent thinker, Tori Aloyansa. You find those on most all of the different social medias. But in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which is where I want to concentrate just a little bit, there is a pattern of creation that unfolds when thought and spoken word are manifesting and moving into physical form. So it's moving from unseen world to a seen world, or to an elemental world that's different than the one that it was in. You know that thought and word, spoken word, can't be seen. And then as it moves in and materializes, it becomes seen. And our thoughts and our words identify or bring an identity to what's being seen. So it is when thought and spoken word are manifesting and moving into physical form, is what I'm going to talk about. We will look at this pattern and see it occurring continually. We seem to think creation took place and now creation is over. Creation is happening on a continual basis. Now, I'll read Genesis 1, 1 to 5, and then I will read to you the closest interpretation that I could put together and find in the Aramaic, in the Arabic, and in the English. So here's Genesis 1, 1 through 5. We've all read it, but I want to read it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God saw the light. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So we see that Genesis being read. Now, when I went back and I began to look up a lot of words, and I looked a lot of other words up in other scriptures that we'll be talking about through Genesis, but I want to read it and put it together the best way that I can, to where you can understand it and not look at it as a creation back there, but things that are happening now. Genesis 1, 1 to 5, Elohim began measurement by creating heaven and earth. Earth was not organized and void of any understanding. Creation was yet without purpose, and everything was unknown, without identity. That's what unknown is. Elohim's voice moved across the waters of life to begin identity. The voice shook heaven and earth. Let there be enlightenment, and understanding began. So we see this now. The Spirit ordained itself and said, enlightenment. I'm sorry. The Spirit observed itself and said, enlightenment and understanding are good. It was observing itself. The Spirit made a difference between the revealed and the unknown for its own good pleasure. Elohim gave identity to the revealed, naming it day, and to the unknown, calling it night. So what we have is a Spirit moving his intelligence into physical manifestation. Now let me just talk just a little bit about this. My observation, the account of creation in the first two chapters of the Bible is the pattern of how every creation that has ever been created came into evidence, came into existence, came into the physical, went from thought to spoken word to materialization. A thought unfolds and is developed in a span of measurement or a span of time. The identities were given in the creation movement. The identities are light and darkness, or the identities are things that are revealed and the things that are secret or unknown. As voice moves across the creation, enlightenment and understanding come, or the voice is bringing form to creation, and it brings enlightenment, and understanding comes, increasing the light and decreasing the darkness, increasing revelation and decreasing the unknown. I heard one of the scientists, DeGrasse, I think, or one of them, made the statement. He said, if your God is the unknown, he's quickly getting smaller and smaller. And that's very true. Because the things that are unknown are coming to light now. They're coming to enlightenment. They're coming to revelation. And we are seeing so much more than we have ever seen before. Now, the account of the first two chapters were not the sun and the moon, the light and the darkness. They had nothing to do. There was no physical light and no physical darkness at that time. There was thought and there was word. So what was happening was thought was being revealed, word was being revealed, and other parts of it were being held secret, which remained in the darkness. Now, we see that going on. None of that creation manifested, the sun, the moon, the stars, all these things. None of that creation manifested until later in creation, in the fourth cycle, the fourth day, the fourth opening. These first two chapters are transference of spirit intelligence into creation. The revelation begins to unfold into a reality of paramount enlightenment and understanding. No matter the creation, no matter what it is, from infancy to a star, to a planet, to a universe, to an animal, botany life, human kingdom, this pattern holds true. This is the secret of spoken word, the universal change. When thought begins to take word, and then it begins to materialize in front of us. I was thinking about many things that come to my mind as I read through this. Now, the account of creation in the first two chapters, it being the intelligence transferring itself into its creation and bringing the creation into physical manifestation. When that thought unfolds, if you remember, he made the statement, it is very good. If you look that up and you go into it, the Spirit observed itself. The Spirit seen it, observed itself, and said, enlightenment and understanding are good. So where did the creation start out? Where did it start out at? No matter what creation you're talking about, creation first starts at the very highest level that it possibly can in vibration and frequency, and that is in joy. Joy is the highest level frequency. They say there's only one that's above it. And the way they test is they test people and they ask different questions and they say different things and they put different things in front of them and they watch their reactions as to what gives them, what frequency they rise to or what frequency they drop to, whichever they put in front of them, whichever question is asked. And and they have found that the very highest frequency of satisfaction for a human being is joy. The one other is authenticity or identity. And identity had not yet come yet. He was still, the voice shook heaven and earth and said, let there be enlightenment, and understanding began. And the Spirit observed itself and said, enlightenment and understanding are good. So all creation started out in the very highest level, and you know, that's joy. And then the next one under that is peace. It's very clear. The next one under that is love. They tested them all. You have joy, peace, love. They're saying that they found one other that's above that, and that's authenticity or identity of who you are, which I can agree with. You know, Jesus, when he looked at Peter and said, who do you say I am? And Peter identified him, said who he was. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, that inner man revealed that to you. And upon this rock, I'll build everything that is real. Everything, I will build my church. But Peter had come to that understanding of Jesus being, he identified him. But then there was another time when Peter come to a greater understanding. And that greater understanding was on the day of Pentecost when Peter was standing up and preaching and he began to catch the understanding in that 11 days in the upper room of what was actually going on. And Peter cried out and said, this is that is spoken by the prophet Joel. The Spirit should be poured out upon all flesh. And Peter identified himself. He identified Jesus back there, but then he identified himself. And when you can do that, you have come full circle. You have come full cycle. You have left linear thinking and you've moved into curvature. You've moved into circular. You've moved into eternity. So Elohim said, identity is good. It's coming. But enlightenment and understanding, the Spirit made a difference between light and darkness. And enlightenment and understanding, he said, is very good. Secrets are good. You always want to know those secrets. You're always seeking after the secrets. What's not known yet? Excuse me. But what takes place, what is real, is like so many people are looking for Jesus to come. Well, I'm not saying he's not going to come again and again and again and again and again and again. He will come every time he needs to come. But what about now? You know, you can play around with things and never get to what really is happening in your day and in your message. And we should come to that enjoyment, that enlightenment, and that understanding in our present life that He has come. He is here. And my flesh is His flesh. I am flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. That's what a wife is. That's what it's all about. Flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Adam said it back there in the beginning, and Paul said it over in the book of Ephesians. And then at the end of the Bible, John said it again in the book of Revelations, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We become flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. We take on enlightenment and understanding. Don't worry about the unknown. Don't worry about the whole side of it. If you become flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, and you begin to take the transference of intelligence into creation, I mean, you're going to know all the unknown. You're going to know the secrets. They're going to open to you when you need them. And to show you that it's still going on today, that man is a creator. I mean, just look around you. Let's take just one man, Tesla, for instance, and take a look around you at what he created. I mean, you're looking at light. We're doing this on the internet. I'm talking to you completely on the other side of the world. And we are doing it in I think they say, in less than 7 seconds. There's not even a 7 second delay all the way through the frequencies into the other side of the world. And Stefan Atabom and Joe Gomez and Clement Ilunga and Mitta Edwardson, the four corners of the earth are hearing it all. And we're sitting here and we're doing this because a man had a thought, and that man was Tesla. And in his thought, he said, there will come a day, I can prove it, there will come a day when there'll be a machine that is so small that you can put it in your front pocket, right there, see that guy? You can put it in your front pocket, and he said, it will control the world. He said, you'll be able to talk anywhere, do anything. We're doing it now because a man's thought and spoken word moved into physical manifestation. With the intelligence and the understanding that that man had to be able to put together a machine, manufacture it, and touch those frequencies and send it everywhere. It's a creation. That cell phone is a creation from thought to word into manifestation. You take all of these things, you're driving cars today because men like Henry Ford, and you're flying planes because of men like the Wright brothers and the ones in New Zealand and all the different places where they begin to fly these planes and do these things. There was no such thing going on. And what did they do? They took thought and they put it together by spoken word. And when they put it together by spoken word, then they begin to bring it together and build what they thought and what they said and put it into manifestation, engines, cotton gins, on and on and on, whites and blacks, yellows and reds. Everyone is a creator, and it's inside you to create, and you create now. Now think on the spiritual side of it. Take a look at the building of the body from the Old Testament up into Pentecost. And Pentecost was all of that body of the Old Testament was built all the way up through. And then when they hit the day of Pentecost, it was the intelligence, transference of the intelligence into the body that was built, and it began to walk in earth. Jesus Christ, a body I have built for myself to walk in earth. And then you come all the way down here into 1965, and there's a prophet standing here. Nobody had any understanding that there was another body, a female body, a wife that was built. It wasn't being taught anywhere. They can say what they want. Clarence Larkin and all of those great men down through time, Wesley and Luther and Columba and just right on down and so many of them, Finley and all of them, none of them had any idea that there was a complete body being built, and that they were the bones of it. They were construction of it. They were men that were bringing in justification and sanctification and the restoration of gifts. They built the bones. They put them together. Then they built the sinews and they put it in. And then they put the flesh on it. And then here comes a prophet at the end of all that. And a prophet stands up and says, the body of the Lord has been built. It's in the earth now. It started in Paul's day, and it comes all the way through seven messengers, seven church ages, seven spirits, seven cities, seven this, seven that, and brings it right down to the end and puts life in it and shows us the entire body and builds it into a pyramid and says, it's in the earth. It's already done. The rapture has already happened. The resurrection is going on. And we are the headship of that body that's been built. And here we are, the headship. In a brand new day, all of those things have been fulfilled. How does this happen? Men are creators. Transference of the mind into spoken word and into manifestation, into physical being, into materialization. That's what happens. That's the pattern of Genesis 1, 1 through 5. That's the pattern. He looks at it. He observes himself after he has built it. He's brought it together. He shakes heaven and earth. He does all of these things. And then when he brings it together, he begins to measure and he begins to look at the creation. He begins to observe it and he puts it into enlightenment. He puts it into understanding. Now, when you come in and you move in at that very high frequency, then you begin to move down the ladder. That's just normal. If you're at the highest rung, when you come in and you're aware that it's a garden is just nothing but family, and the tree of life is husband, wife, and family. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are the moral laws and the understanding and the things that we set up to be able to function together. And that's all it was. That's all Moses was talking about. That's all the Spirit was bringing. But to bring it to that, there had to be a transference of intelligence into humankind. And that's what those first five verses and those first two chapters are all about, and we'll get into it some more. But Elohim began measurement by creating heaven and earth. Measurement began. Measurement of time, a measurement of dispensations, measurement of cycles. Cycles begin to break out. A measurement of good, a measurement of evil, a measurement of life, a measurement of the elements, a measurement of dimensions. On and on and on, measurement began to break out and began to come forth when heaven and earth were created. And earth, or your body, was not organized yet, and it was void of understanding, and creation was without purpose, and everything was unknown. It had just started in this creation portion. It was without identity. Elohim's voice, the self-existent one, moves his voice across the waters of life, across humanity, across the earth. And he began to bring identity. He began to identify. He began to name this, name that, put characters into this, put characters into that. And it just kept moving. The voice shook heaven and earth and said, let there be enlightenment. And understanding began. That's what this is about. The Spirit observed itself moving into a physical creation, observed itself and said, enlightenment and understanding are good. The Spirit made a difference between what's been revealed, day, and what is still a secret, night. He made that difference for his own good pleasure so that he could move it out gradually as he kept moving it out, just gradually putting it out, so that everything that he ever revealed about himself, he could observe it, we could observe it, and we could say, that is very good. And we could get enlightenment, we could get enjoyment, we could get peace, we could get all those things. And as we go down the ladder in this creation, you drop on down, you go into some things that are very low vibration, so to speak. There are things that are hatred, malice, envy, strife, evil, right on down the line, and concupiscence and fornication and adultery and just on and on and on. And all of that, you keep dropping down in there, and humanity experiences all of that. You didn't leave Christ. You're just experiencing creation. And let me say this, and I hope this really helps, and then I will close. We were told and we were taught that the Spirit is a fountain of life. It was called the rainbow fountain of life, a great Spirit. God is a Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. He's unseen. Paul said the unseen are the things that are eternal. The seventh dimensional Spirit. No evil has ever come out of that person. That person, I called him a person. He is a person. It is a person. No evil has ever come out of that person, six dimensionally. But see what he had to do in order to bring a creation and then let that creation learn of themselves and observe themselves and slowly move through the frequencies of joy and peace and love and right on down the line and move up and down these frequencies and vibrations and learn what is best for us. What did he have to do? Because some of those frequencies were evil. And it was hatred, envy, malice, strife. Go to Galatians 5, and you'll read about it all in there, verse 18 through 21, all the good and all the evil. So all those things had to be created. They had to be able to come out, but there was none of that in the seventh dimension. So what did he do? Brother Branham said that a little light formed, just a little light. He said it went dancing on his father's front porch. It went dancing through the universe. Move stars here, move things there, move things here, move planets over here. It set up the sun. It did all these things. This little light moving about, he called it dancing on his father's porch, dancing on the porch of the seventh dimension. And inside this little guy, pillar of fire, inside this little guy was the identity of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree of life. But inside it was also a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So out of the seventh dimension came a pure flow into the sixth dimensional body of the pillar of fire. And then it began to form itself and flow out of there. It flowed two streams. Two streams come out of the pillar of fire, the knowledge of good and evil. And these two streams went out. Now, when these two streams are finished, when we finish up, so to speak, this cycle of our life, and we move back, you know what doesn't go back? The evil. We come out and we have both streams. We were we were angry, we were jealous, we were mad, we hated, we fought, we lied, we stole, we did this, we did that, and we were good and godly and long-suffering and full of peace and kindness and mercy, and both streams were flowing. The seventh dimension never, ever gets touched. The seventh dimension being that very sacred, inner, sinless place where no man has ever sinned. All of those places, that place, nothing has ever been touched. Two streams come out and they flow and they go out into the earth for thousands of years. I don't know how long, millions of years, however long it's been, they flow out. The voice of the Spirit moves across the face of the waters, flows, putting out two streams so that we can learn the difference between darkness and light, the difference between revelation and intellect, the difference between known and unknown, the difference between revealed and secret, the difference between found and lost, the difference between saved and lost. We found all these things. The difference between sinless and a redemption plan. The difference between God and the Son of God. We find out all these differences right here through this first five verses. The voice of Christ, the waters, the voice of the Spirit, moving his intelligence, transference into humanity. Paul said, you say, we don't have that. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Have you received that transference? Have you realized who you are? Have you realized you got two streams flowing through you? But one of those streams will never make it back to eternity. You will carry the memory. You will carry the understanding. You will carry the frequency. You will carry all those things with you, but it can't enter that seventh dimensional Don Parnell. It cannot enter that seventh dimensional Mitta Edwardson. It cannot enter that seventh dimensional person, you, God alone. Nothing touches you. No sin. No, nothing touches you. That's that person of who we are. We're coming back to that understanding. I'll talk some more on this. It's a movement of intelligence to bring thought into spoken word and down into physical manifestation. And we have the pillar of fire within us flowing both streams. And when we finish this cycle, we will move back and we will move into a stream that is pure, completely pure. What a day this is to come to this understanding. I identify myself as in that stream right now. I declare that I am sinless. I am holy. I am pure. My reconciliation, my redemption, my blood, my sin, my everything is finished. And I am sinless. I am pure. I am holy. I understand who I am. Amen. Love bless you. This was part one, and we will talk more on this. Love bless.